following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
The Forcecast presents What's New in the EU? EU. A closer look into the Star Wars expanded universe.
Greetings, Forcecast fans, and welcome to another edition of What's New in the EU. I'm your host, Pete, and we'll be joined later on by our favorite jovial Jay Shepard. And we've got a lot of good stuff coming at you this week, a new EU character profile, some new stuff from Jay, and a review of Galaxies that I've been teasing you with for quite some time that I haven't gotten to, so appreciate your patience on that. But what we're going to start with is our EU character profile. Now, this is one that I've owed to one of our dedicated listeners, Siobhan, for quite some time. Now, dedicated listeners of the Forcecast may know her as the Disney girl. Way back when that story was big, she kept us posted on what the updates were as far as that goes. So I decided that I would help her out with her mission to push forward her favorite character, Callista, and so here we're going to go in with Callista. Hope everybody enjoys. Callista Ming was a human Jedi discovered by the controversial master, Jyn Atlas, in the bayous of Chad. The daughter of deep-sea ranchers, Callista had used her Force connection to help herd sea creatures, but had gone unnoticed by the Republic, as Chad was not a Republic territory. Master Atlas took Callista from Chad to begin her training as a Jedi with promises of a better life ahead. While training under Master Atlas in his hidden complex, Callista paid homage to her homeworld with intricate designs on the hilt of her lightsaber, and also fell for another Atlas protege, Geeth. When the Clone Wars began, Master Atlas and his students willingly joined the Jedi cause. In the aftermath of the Clone Wars, many Padawans were sent to refuge on Belzavis. Palpatine discovered the hiding place and dispatched his new weapon, the Eye of Palpatine, to wipe them out. Callista and Geeth infiltrated the Eye and attempted to disable it, but Geeth was killed attempting to get help. Callista tried a dangerous technique of merging her spirit with a computer and succeeded, which rendered the Eye useless. 30 standard years later, an evil agent of the Empire, Roganda Ismarin, plotted to reactivate the dormant Eye. Luke Skywalker and Padawan Cray Mingla found the Eye first, and Luke discovered the presence that lay within the computer. Luke and Callista formed a relationship as they spoke about the past. Luke realized he needed to destroy the Eye, but before he could, Callista rendered him unconscious and sent him from the ship. Luke watched as the Eye self-destructed, believing that he had lost Callista. He discovered later that Cray had allowed Callista to enter her body so that Cray could join her beloved in the afterlife, and Callista could once again have a human form. An unknown side effect of this spirit transfer was that Callista lost all connection with the Force. She and Luke went to all points of the galaxy to try to help her reconnect with the Force, but she found that she could only connect through the dark side. She began to lose interest in the Force altogether. Callista remained at Luke's Jedi Academy, and was there when Admiral Dalla's fleet attempted to invade Yavin. Callista infiltrated Dalla's super star destroyer, the Nighthammer, and sabotaged the ship. She then confronted Dalla, who stunned her as the ship broke apart in the atmosphere. Callista cheated death again as she used an escape pod to flee from the doomed ship. She left the New Republic and Luke in a desperate search to rekindle her powers. Callista ended up on the Force Nexus planet, Nam Choris, where she met the ex-Jedis, Tasselda and Beldorian the Hutt. Tasselda enslaved her with the promise of returned strength. Callista escaped him and continued to struggle with her loss of the Force, as her fear prevented her from finding her former life. She began to understand the inhabitants of Nam Choris, the Spooks and the Therans, and joined one of their troops, in working to keep the planet's indigenous insects, the Drax, from leaving. Callista discovered a plot by Seti Ashgad to lure Leia Organa Solo to Namchoris. Callista urged her not to come, but was ignored. Leia was taken prisoner, but Callista arrived to help her escape. Luke journeyed to the distant planet to help Leia, but also to see Callista. But when he arrived, the two quickly realized that their lives were on different paths, and Callista left again and was never heard from after that. You can read about Callista in the novels that follow the Jedi Academy trilogy, Children of the Jedi, Dark Saber, and Planet of Twilight. Well, there she is, Callista. Siobhan, I hope I did at least a decent job of trying to capture the character, but I may have come up a little bit short at the very least. It is now a raised awareness, and hopefully other people will join your forge for Callista. Now, of course, Jay Shepard is back to join us. He did miss out on the last one because we had the interview, but went to Jay and I said, hey, do you have anything that we can put in there? And Jay obliged with an update. And what better way to have a What's New in the EU section than to bring you up to speed on what's going on in the EU? And Jay was kind enough to bring us up to speed on what's going on with the comic series that are out and about right now. And I'll leave it to Jay to kind of give you all the details on that. But if you are currently reading or you're falling behind, like I have in a few of the series, you may not want to read because there may be some spoilers in here. But at this point, take it away, Jay.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to our update in the EU for April 2007. Today we're going to be focusing on the comic books, and I want to bring everyone up to speed with what has come out kind of in Dark Horse's latest wave. As you may know, at the end of 2005, after Revenge of the Sith opened, Dark Horse pretty much canceled all of their regular comic book series that were out and revamped them for 2006. Empire was canceled and became Rebellion. Republic was canceled and became Dark Times, and then they added two new books to the series. One was Knights of the Old Republic, and the second was Legacy, kind of both on either end of the entire continuity spectrum. So the first book that they released in January of 2006 was Knights of the Old Republic. It takes place in the Old Republic, obviously, before the video game. And the first arc was called Commencement. It was a six-parter, and it's by John Jackson Miller and Brian Ching. And this focuses on the characters of Zane Carrick, who's a Padawan who is framed for the murder of his fellow Padawans and is chased by the Jedi Master Lucien Dre and the other Masters. And he's basically on the run, obviously. It's kind of a fugitive story. He runs into Marn Hieroglyph, who is a Snivian. That's a Snaggletooth type of alien, for those of you that are keeping track. And they kind of go on the run together, and they meet up with a couple other characters who we don't have a lot of backstory on yet, named Camper and Jeriel. So they get into some different adventures together, and that continues into the next story arc called Flashpoint, which was a three-parter, which also included an interlude called Flashpoint Interlude. And that took place on Coruscant and focused on kind of some of the backstory of Lucien and his family, while Flashpoint took place on the planet of Flashpoint pre-Mandalorian attack. So we're in the era of the Mandalorian Wars here. That was followed by a two-parter called Reunion, which I think was one of the best story arcs so far. That was really fun. It featured a couple of Hammerhead aliens, the Athorians. They were a pair of hired thugs, and they had to go after and try to capture Zane, and of course they were complete idiots and just couldn't manage to do it properly. And Zane ran into his dad in that, so we found a little bit more out about Zane's backstory there. And then the current storyline is called Days of Fear, and that takes place on the planet of Raltir, which is right on the front of the fighting with the Mandalorians. And we've got some, we've got a bunch of intrigue going on in that. Don't want to get into that too much. Like I said, that's currently going on. The next three arcs that John Jackson Miller has said will kind of finish out 2007 will be Knights of Anger, Days of Hate, and that's D-A-Z-E of Hate, and then Nights of Suffering, and that's Nights with a K-N-I-G-H-T. So anyone who's interested in getting involved with Knights of the Old Republic, you can pick up the first trade paperback, which covers the first six parts with Commencement. That is out currently. Trade paperback number two is due in mid-May, and I believe that focuses on Flashpoint. So I highly recommend the series. This has got solid writing. It's got good comic sense and timing in it. And it's just very solid and put together. It's also the one that's been out the longest. About 15 episodes or 15 issues are out now. So it's had the most time to stew and really build on the characters. The next series that came out was Rebellion, which, as I said before, took over for Empire. And if you look inside on the little fine print on the inside, you'll see that the numbering from Empire is actually continuing in Rebellion. It came out in April 2006, and its first story arc was a five-parter called My Brother, My Enemy. And again, it continued storylines that were in Empire. Rob Williams and Brandon Badeau did the writing and the art for this. And this continues the Lieutenant Janik Sunbur line that we had seen in the end of Empire. And it features Luke and Janik Sunbur, who we find out is actually his boyhood friend Tank that we've heard about from the original novelization, and also features Joran Saul and Lieutenant Dina Shan from Empire also, and Leia's in here as well. And it's basically Luke trying to reconcile the fact that his friend is, you know, now on the side of the Empire, and what's going to happen when you know, is Tank going to turn him in? Is he really a traitor to the Empire? Is he really going to betray the Rebellion now that he's quote-unquote defected? Did he really defect? So it's got some intrigue and mystery in it. Rebellion has unfortunately suffered from some delays in its shipping. First four issues came out relatively quickly. The fifth issue, I think, was delayed about 3 or 4 months. So that'll require going back and rereading it. But the trade paperback is out, so anyone who wants to can read all five parts right in a row, which will be really helpful. Coming out in May is the Ahakista Gambit, which is the next five-part story arc. And that's going to focus on some other characters. It doesn't look like there's going to be too much Luke or Leia in this one. And we'll learn about some other characters from the Rebellion. The next comic series that I want to talk about is another fine entry into the Star Wars expanded universe, and this is the Legacy series. This takes place out 130 years after Return of the Jedi, out beyond the Legacy of the Force book series. This started back in June of 2006 with Broken, which was a six-parter. It's the creative team behind Republic. But, of course, it's an entirely new era, so they have entirely new characters and planets and events to work with. John Ostrander and Jan Dersima are taking over the chores on this one. And what they've done is introduce us to Cade Skywalker, who is, he's Luke's great-great-great-grandson, I believe. And we also meet his crew, because Cade is a pirate. He really doesn't want anything to do with the Jedi. So he's a pirate out there, and he's actually hunting Jedi, which he has to reconcile at some point here. And we meet his crew, who are Delia Blue and Jiraiya Sin. The Emperor of the Galaxy is Rowan Fell, and we find out that the Empire has taken back over portions of the galaxy after the Yuuzhan Vong devastation. And the Sith have returned, and the Sith have returned in force. We've got Darth Krayt, who is a mysterious Sith figure. We don't know who that is yet, but we'll be finding out soon. We also meet some of his minion. He's done away with the rule of two, so we found out, besides Darth Krayt, we've got Darth Nil, Darth Malady, Darth Nihilus, to name a few. So after the Broken, actually in between the first three parts of Broken and the second three parts of Broken, they had a filler issue called Noob, N-O-O-B, which gave us a little bit of behind the scenes about the Empire's stormtroopers. Then we had a one-shot called Allies, which gave us a little insight into the power struggles between the Sith and the Empire up on the Moff level. And the current two-parter that's out right now, or that just concluded actually the other week, is called Trust Issues. The next two-parter is called Ghosts of Ossus, and we're going to get see some Yuuzhan Vong in that, and we've only seen a little bit in the comics. I think that was there was a Tales episode that had a that was a New Jedi Order Tales episode or a short story in it. And then the big thing that's going to happen this summer is a six-parter called Krayt, and we're going to find out who Darth Krayt is finally, and we'll get a little bit more about his background. That's going to be a big six-parter. Anyone who wants to get started in Legacy, it's not too late. They're at, I think, around the 10th issue right now. And the first six-part story arc, Broken, is already out in trade paperback form, or at least it should be by the time you hear this. It came out on April 11th. And, again, just quality workmanship by Ostrander and Dersima there. The final new title is Dark Times, and that came out November 2006. It's called The Path to Nowhere, and that's kind of where it seems like it's going right now. It's a five-parter, and as of April 2007, only two issues have come out so far. Now, this is due a little bit, I believe, reading onto the Dark Horse community boards, a little bit to do with some personal issues Doug Wheatley, who's the artist, has been having, and so they've decided, you know, not to replace him with some other artist just to take over the chores, just to get the book out. They want to give him time to complete the issues, so we've got the issues scheduled, but it's gonna be a while before these come out towards the end of the year here. This is a continuation of the Republic comic, or the Republic continuity, I guess. We meet Das Janir, who was a Jedi that we were introduced to in one of the last three issues of Republic, and Bomo Greenbark, who is a Nosorian, which is an alien species from the prequels. And Das is on the run from post-Order 66. He's trying to evade the Empire's clone troopers, and Bomo is trying to rescue his family, who has been captured and put into slavery. And they've teamed up with some pirates, some rogues, and that's about where we are right now. We don't know really more of anything that's going on right there. So trade paperback for that is scheduled for August, so hopefully by July we should see the fifth issue of that, and then they'll probably by that time let us know what's happening in the second story arc. So that's where we are with the Comic Book Expanded Universe now. Hopefully that will bring you a little bit up to date with the four current series that are going on right now. You can also look for the occasional issue of the Clone Wars Adventures comic, which is a digest-sized comic that continues the cartoon-like adventures of Clone Wars, kind of based on the look and design of the cartoon series from Cartoon Network. And as always, stay tuned, and we'll bring you the most up-to-date information on the comic series and miniseries and story arcs that are coming later this year.
Thanks, Jay. Great information as always. You know, I'm always a little bit conflicted as far as that goes because I want to know the information, but on the same token, I want to read it for myself, but just don't have all the time that I'd like to dedicate to all this stuff. So it's always nice to have those little quick reviews in the can just in case. And, you know, if it's something that really intrigues me, I'll go back and make sure that I read it for myself. So anyway, we should hopefully make sure that we keep you up to speed on what's going on in those, and hopefully you'll find that information informative, but don't think that it's getting away too much. So anyway, that leads us to the last segment of today's show, which is a review of Star Wars Galaxies. Now, I put this out there a couple weeks ago, and did get a little bit of feedback, and we'll get to that here in a little minute, but basically, Star Wars Galaxies is the massively multiplayer online role-playing game in the Star Wars universe. Now, anybody who's not familiar with these, this is the phenomenon that has become Worlds of Warcraft and also Star Wars Galaxies and several other online adventures where the gameplay is centered around existing within this world, and you all your adventures and everything almost takes place in a real-time scenario. So while you're playing the game, you're gaining experience and doing all the things that you need to do, but so are literally millions of other people around the globe so that they can ascend to certain levels and do all the things that you want to do. Obviously, in Star Wars Galaxies, the role is to find your niche within the Star Wars universe. When it was first released, I did run out and get it, and I was very excited about it because it was completely a different spin on the Star Wars universe. And the great thing about these massively multi-online player or multiplayer online games is that the possibilities are really beyond anything that you can capture in any other single game. There's a different way to approach the game in all sorts of different things, and it continues to evolve, which can be beautiful or can also be a curse. And there was some of that that happened within the Star Wars game. However, it gives you the ability to do what you want to do in the Star Wars universe. You know, we always ask that question, what job would you want to have within the Star Wars universe? We ask that of our interviewers or our interviewees. And, you know, you always come up with different things. But this gives you the opportunity to actually search out and find that job. Now, the time period is the Rebellion period. And it involves... As the movies have progressed, it involves more and more of the movies, more of the planets, and the things that have come along and been revealed as the movies have come out. And when I first went out and got it, and I'll give you the anecdotal version, it's a lot of fun. You know, you go out and you search out things to do. When I first started, I was a hunter, and I was going out and hunting animals and mining their meat so I could sell the meat and buy new equipment and get new weapons, and every once in a while running into a thug or something and fighting with them. And with my ultimate goal of joining the Rebellion with its little pockets around the worlds of the Empire, and pretty much just stayed on one planet at that point and didn't really travel or do much of anything, just wanted to build my experience. Build my experience, bought some new weapons, and finally started to get to the point where I felt maybe I have a feel of the game. So I went out in search of a rebel base. Went out, found a rebel base, joined in with a bunch of the rebels, and at one point we went on a raid to an Empire outpost. Now this is very funny because it was my first raid, and I was all excited, and we were all chatting and you know, positioning ourselves, and we came out and we charged the bunker. And as we did, an AT-ST came around the corner and made very, very short work of us. I think I may have lasted about 5 seconds. And at that point I figured, well, maybe I need to rethink my strategy. And so I did, and I kind of started transition, but I started to lose interest. And one of the big reasons that I lost interest was that I was starting to fall behind. I just didn't have the time to dedicate to a game of this magnitude. And that's where my interest started to die. Then they went through a big transition of changes, and I know that there were a lot of complaints, a lot of misinformation that got out there, basically revolving around being a Jedi. In this time period, there aren't very many Jedi, if any. And so that was the holy grail, so to speak, was that you weren't going to see it. And I know that personally, when I started playing, I started playing pretty much right away. And there weren't any Jedi on our server for at least 3 weeks. And then there were rumors abound that there was some starting to show up. So they made it very difficult, which, of course, is how it should be. But that frustrated some people, and so they made it a little bit easier, and then it went through several different transitions. So I kind of fell out of it altogether, canceled my subscription, and haven't touched it since. So my biggest complaint was not that the game itself was bad or that there was anything going on with it, but that it was just too much of an undertaking. I loved the fact that I could get on and talk with somebody in France or talk with somebody that might be next door. That's the beauty of these massively multiplayer online games, is that they are there's so much of a universe. It's as much a community as a game in and of itself. However, I like I said, I have given it up. And I did mention in the last time that I had some unique opinions on it, and that was mostly it, but I had also heard that there were some complaints about what it has gone on. And as always is the case, whenever something like that pops up, we always have somebody heeds the call. And I did have one of our listeners Dan White email me and say, you know, I want to make sure that you give the game another look. He says, Sony Online Entertainment has made some giant leaps in the last few updates. They call them chapters. And after a change of leadership, they seem to be finally returning the game to what everyone loved about it at the start. The biggest win for the community is the long-awaited return of the creature handler profession, albeit under a new name, Beast Mastery, in the upcoming Chapter 6. Sony Online Entertainment has gone to great lengths to stress that Star Wars Galaxies is going to be around for the long term, and I, for one, am glad. I have tried many other massively multi-online role-playing games. You'd think after saying it for a couple times I would get it, but on the market, such as EQ2 and Worlds of Warcraft, and even the newest comer, Vanguard, and it's not Star Wars. Best thing about Star Wars Galaxies is the community, and any listeners wanting to find out a little more about the community should listen to Yivitz and Mr. Bubble, which is a Star Wars Galaxy podcast. And so that's great news. I love the fact that he had emailed me and said, hey, you need to give it another shot. And in fact, he has convinced me to give it another shot, albeit not yet. Again, the other thing, the thing that just is going to kill me again is the fact that I just don't have the time to really dedicate to that. And part of what makes it fun is being able to make your guy better and, you know, continue to find those options that are going to send you to the Holy Grail. But give it a chance. It's something that if you're a big-time gamer, you're cheating yourself if you don't get into, if not Star Wars Galaxies, one of these online games. You know, if you have the opportunity to dedicate some time to it, it's really worth your while because it becomes a lot of fun, mostly for the community. You meet the same people, you run into them, you start making trades, you send people out and say, hey, can you help me do this? Yeah, you want to trade me for that? It becomes a lot of fun, and the best thing about Star Wars, and I found this in the last 7 months or so of podcasting, is that it is such a great community, and there are so many great people out there that you want to reach out to and have the ability to chat with and do whatever. So this gives you the opportunity to do that and do it from all parts of the world. So if you are looking for something new, if you're looking for something to dip your teeth into and really kind of get you brought in, that this is something to do it. Unfortunately, if you are like me and you have to budget your time with so many different things tugging at you, you may not be able to dedicate it as much as you'd like to. But the greatest thing about this is, again, if you haven't picked up the Best of Star Wars PC series, you need to do it, because this is also on there. They give you a 14-day free trial. Hop on there, see if you like it. It's worth checking out just to see, hey, this may be something that I really enjoy. If it's not, no harm, no foul. I mean, you're going to have all these other great games to go with it, but you at least get the taste of what Star Wars Galaxies is about. So hopefully that gives you a pretty good idea of what it, and I know this was kind of more of a rambling review and not really a review. It wasn't really much on the game, but the gameplay itself is fairly simple. It's fairly straightforward, but it's more the options and what you're doing within the game that make it fun. So check that out. And, of course, that music signals the end of this week's Microcast. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me. Please be sure to tune in every Friday for my regular gig with my best buddy Jason as we talk about all there is to talk about in the Star Wars universe on the Forcecast. And make sure you're always tuning into the website or the feed to see what else is on there. We've had several episodes of the Galaxy of Music, thanks to Dustin and Jimmy Mack. And you never know what's going to drop. We may have some interviews coming up. Actually have some interesting things planned going up to C4. So make sure you're always checking out. My thanks, as always, to my best buddy Jason, to Jay Shepard for his excellent work and his helpful attitude, to Dustin Roberts, Dan Curto, and, of course, the inveritable Jimmy Mack. And, of course, another thank you to all of you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.